gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Outdoor Journal Radio show, airing live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This unfamiliar voice you hear right now is maybe familiar to you. My name is Pete Bowman, co-host of the Fishing Canada show. I co-host that with Angelo Viola, and joining me in the studio today is Mr. Steve Nitzwicki, a good friend of Angelo's and mine, fishing expert, former owner of Chaudière Lodge, Chaudière Lodge on the French River. And Mr. Joe Gorskowski is sitting in for Stephen Labadie. So it's a whole new team in here. Good morning, Stevie. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, folks. And good morning, Joe, over there behind the glass.
Listen to that voice, boy. You've already made my day right there.
Right.
I can just go home. You just take this thing on, Maddie.
I don't know about that.
So anyways, obviously, everybody is wondering. Some of the people probably wondering. They haven't heard Angelo last week. The show had to be canceled. And this week, of course, you have Steve and I and Joe in here. And what has happened, I mean, to all your faithful listeners out there, if you haven't heard the news, Angelo had a heart attack last week, about an hour or two before the show last weekend.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, everything is good right now. He's on the road to recovery. It was a bad heart attack. We will say that. It was one of those nasty ones that the doctors are telling him take some time off, take a lot of time off. You got a lot of recovering to do, a lot of healing to do. But I know that belligerent old bugger. I know him well, as good as anybody does, and I know he will come back stronger than ever. He already wants to sit in this chair right now, Stevie. I guarantee you he wants to be sitting here right
now.
He's
chomping at the bit right now.
He's listening
to us, and he's got his hand on the phone, and he's doing everything he can to not call.
Yeah. So just to let everybody know, he had excellent medical care. Thank God his lovely wife, Monique, was there with him, and she pretty much saved his life, if you ask me. Anyways, from the story I've heard, and thank you, Monique, for that. I mean, you know, it's a natural thing to do, but it's it's quite a story to hear when it's somebody so close to you. In our case, you know, our buddy, and
yeah, and it wasn't even so we heard it come from the mouth of Angelo Viola to my ears, and he said, "If not for my wife, I would not be here talking to you right now."
Yeah,
and that. That really hit me hard.
Yeah, no kidding. It's that close. So
thank you, Monique.
Yeah, thanks so much. And you know what? To the rest of his family, Abby, Jocelyn, and Nick, who are sticking right by his side and taking care of him right now. Special thanks to those guys too, because that hits you hard, right? When they came into the office the other day, all of them, we had a little meeting, and it was a really weird feeling having everybody there. You know, you felt the love, and how about you felt like, wow. This was a close one. So.
It was something that has a very high magnitude, to say the least.
Yeah, and for sure.
The good thing is we expect him to recover fully and continue doing what we all love him to do, and I'm sure he loves doing as well, and that's radio and TV and entertaining us all.
Absolutely. So he will be back. Don't you worry. He's in good spirits. He's already, like I said, he's chomping at the bit. So he wants in here right now. You may even hear him here next week. So because Steve and I are traveling to BC next weekend. So somebody's got to sit in this hot seat anyway. So
absolutely.
I got a feeling he's going to be here. So anyways, that's your update on Angelo. If you go to fishingcanada.com, you can have a little read about it too. Our Facebook page. Leave a comment. Leave him some love and hugs and kisses. And there you go. And we will move on with our show. So speaking of our website, make sure you go to fishingcanada.com. If you haven't heard by now, we have obviously the best contest going on the
face of the planet.
Face of the planet right now. We've got our Mercury Motor contest, but that's not all. We got blogs going out there. We got how-tos. We got videos. We got everything there. So our site is really ramped up a lot in the last little bit, I think, eh, Steve?
Oh, 100%. Our vision for this site is to make it the go-to place for the outdoor enthusiast to go and find recipes and to go and find new products for fishing and hunting and read blogs from a multitude of different people. So it's a building. Multifaceted website,
wow,
to say the least.
Big words. I love that.
100%. I looked in the dictionary this morning to use some special magnanimous words to describe.
Okay, you got to stop. You're making me laugh. Congratulations to Sean McLaughlin from Waynefleet, Ontario. He was the fourth winner. As another Ontario winner, wow, of a 9.9 Mercury motor. He entered 33 times, people. So remember, you keep entering your ballots every day. You get more chances to win. So, Sean just won that motor. That's a fantastic prize. So keep at it, people. That's our fourth, and we still have five more to go.
And not only that, Peter, there's a person at the end of it all that doesn't win an engine. The one person that enters the most ballots
is this
from start
so far?
To finish. This is what Ange said 2 weeks ago.
On the radio?
Yes, he
did.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
We'll have something special. We don't know what that special thing is.
I know what it is, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
So why do you know and I don't know?
Because I'm part of this team at full-time. I'm a full-time teamer.
Oh, I got you now.
This is a nice. This prize is as nice as a Mercury 9.9, okay? It might not be better, but it's not any worse. It is as nice.
I got you. Nice.
It's a beauty.
Well, you know what? Don't tell me because I'll leak it.
We'll go quickly through this week's guest, Dave Chong, tournament angler. We know Dave quite well. Steve and I both know Dave. He's going to be talking about the early bass season and his trip to ICAST. We have Barbara Byers from the Life Saving Society joining us, and she's going to talk about drowning, et cetera. Right, Steve?
A bit of a spike in drowning in Quebec, and we'll talk about Ontario, and we'll discuss ways to try and lessen that number.
Mm-hmm. We have Paul Hodgins from Pine Lake Camp joining us. Apparently, he has some trophy largemouth fishing in his lake, along with some other species. And the Dr. Norman Yan talking about
calcium deficiencies in our ecosystem.
Wow. See, that's right up your alley with all the big words and stuff like
100%,
that.
100%, bud.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Great Ontario Salmon Derby. We're going to give you an update later on in the show, et cetera, et cetera. So we have got a lot to cover. So we better get going. And, of course, now we'd like to bring you the behind the scenes of what's happening on the Fishing Canada show, which is on TV right now as we speak as well. And guess who's on that TV show as well, Stevie?
That's Mr. Peter Bowman.
You know what? I feel just like a superstar right here.
I guess so.
It's like that lady we saw at Sault Ste. Marie when I told her I was a yeah, superstar of some type.
You were a superstar of some type.
We got a great story. If we could ever pull that one out, maybe we'll do it later if we have some time. But on this week's show, you got myself and Kevin Ritza, a local angler from Port Hope area. He owns a piece of property on the Ganaraska River, which is probably the best steelhead river in all of Ontario. And we're wading the Gani it was the first week of rainbow trout season. So, and it was a fantastic, even the public land in the Ganaraska River is amazing. But if you get a chance to, you know, you have somebody that knows has some private land on any of these feeder creeks in Ontario, you owe it to yourself to get out there and have a good shot at it. And the one thing I want to say is I've got the only negative I've had to all this on our social media is that we're walking through the spawning areas and all that. People, we're not stupid. We don't do that. If we see spawning fish, we stay away from them fishing-wise. We don't walk through the reds. We don't do that. So you're there's always going to be these slaggers and trolls out there, Stevie, that make the negative out of it. But Ange and I, we do our best
100%.
Of all best to take care of any fishery we're doing, right? You know what I mean? So anyways, it's tuning in right now to Ganaraska Steel. And if you want to know more about that show or any other show, obviously fishingcanada.com. We were talking about that earlier. It's got all the goodies that you need to know. Don't forget to sign up for the Mercury contest while you're at it. And then look at our social media pages too. Facebook.com, Fishing Canada, Twitter, OD at OTJ Radio, Instagram at Fishing Canada Official, and YouTube.com at Fishing Canada. I guess that's about all we got there, isn't it?
That's it, brother. That's it, brother. You done good on that one.
I know. I thought we had a bumper there. Sorry, buddy. That was a play and save with Bradley Schlorp. Speaking of Bradley Schlorf, we get these reports all the time about drownings and boating accidents, et cetera, et cetera. But today Brad's going to talk to us, I think, a little bit more about the personal watercraft issues that are going on. Now, I didn't really know about this. There's a number of fatalities. And I mean, it's pretty obvious. These things are open machines. They're like a little motorcycle on the water. I'm assuming that can be pretty dangerous as well, and these guys get ripping on them pretty fast. So retired OPP Staff Sergeant Brad Schlorf, he's going to maybe hopefully open our eyes on all this. Good morning, Bradley. Brad. Just getting on right now, so... Hey, Brad, you're there now?
I'm all there. 100% there.
You were 80% there, buddy, just to let you know, okay?
Okay, 30.
Good morning, son. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Yeah.
Your buddy Angelo is in recovery mode. He's doing well, so just to let you know, okay?
I've been trying to text him. I'm emailing him. I'm going to have to drive right down there and ambush him.
Well, you try and text Ange. Good luck with getting an answer because he is a non-texter, you know?
No.
He ain't from Texas, that's for sure, that boy.
Sure Monique has stole his phone, so don't take anything personally for anybody out there that's trying to get in touch with him because it is not even possible for him to answer.
Well, he needs a bit of thumbs down on him pushing the pressure anyway.
Absolutely,
that's
Brad.
Right.
You know it. We all know it. So he just needs to know it. So anyways, Brad, we got our subject, obviously, is this personal watercraft deal with the fatalities and accidents and that. What's going on with that?
I don't know. So there was a guy killed in a PWC crash there in Toronto the other day. They haven't really been the problem that they were in the 90s. And I'll whine about that a little bit, too, when we get on. But it's just every once in a while they come up and something happens. But they're not really the problem that they used to be.
Really?
Well, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a good thing. I mean, you would think if you're looking at all the vehicles on the water, you'd think that one might be the worst problem or the one that's most susceptible to a major injury, right? Being sitting on a little tiny seat.
I just don't think that they're as popular as they were in the mid-90s. Like, think about when you're out yourself. Like, you don't see PWCs like you did 15, 18 years ago.
You know what? He's probably right.
Yeah.
You see them out there, but...
Do you think any of the changes that we made regarding the PWC has helped as well?
I don't know. I just wonder if it's just become less popular. You know, there's a lot more small jet boats. There's a lot more ski boats and stuff like that. And I'm thinking maybe the clientele of the late 90s has kind of migrated to a bit more comfortable and same kind of idea boat.
Yeah, that's true. What about age restrictions or training or anything like that on those things?
Well, again, that was one of these things that the federal government, you know, they fold up real easy and they target the defenseless so that, you know, they pick on kids on a lot of this stuff and it's not really the problem. Like, the problem is always guys between 20 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the good thing about it is that they made it mandatory you have to have a PFD on a PWC pretty much, or else you carry paddles and all that other shit with you when you're going, so...
Right.
It's,
right. Now,
and then,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was going to make something up.
I know I haven't seen many paddles on a personal watercraft.
I've never seen anybody using them, that's for sure. You know, the thing I see, like, I mean, I'm on the water a lot. Angie's on the water a lot. Steve, you're out there at the lodge and you're on the water a lot fishing. And even Brad, you see it too. You see these guys that, the machines nowadays, these personal watercrafts, can rip. Like, they are faster than our Prince craft. A lot of these boats. They're like 70-mile-an-hour plus machines on these. And then the guys love to do the joy riding, doing the spin-roonies, and they love hitting wakes off of the back of boats. Now, it's not really unsafe, I'd say. I mean, the guys are having fun. They're hitting waves. They learn how to drive their machines, but... But I think that's what's annoying a lot of people out in their own boats, right?
Well, at the end of the day, I think we all need to call a spade, and at least from my point of view, being a lodge owner and being on the water a lot, it's not the watercraft that's the problem.
It's the idiot
driving
on top of it.
And 90% of the time when you have an issue, there's alcohol involved.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So... That's I think that's a big still a big factor.
Yeah, I think when Brad said that, you get those guys in that certain age bracket. Well, a lot of those guys in the middle of the day, they've been sitting on the dock popping the beers back, you know, for the most part. I mean, we're painting a bad picture on these guys, but because not everybody does that. But when an accident happens,
I'm still one of them. Well, actually, I'm not. I thought I was on the top end, but I'm a little above the top end now. In that group.
I know a lot about the top end. I'm pretty soon going to get a CPP check every month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, boating laws. Let's just go to basic boating laws. So Steve and I and Ange wrote in the Prince Craft, we're fishing away. We have our certain laws in that. What about a personal watercraft? Are they the same laws or is there different?
Well, a little bit different. So nobody under 16 can operate them under any circumstances, period. Like, that, you know, that's not the kid with dad on the back or anything. You just can't operate it if you're under 16.
Okay.
So, where, you know, with any other boat, as long as you're under direct supervision, it's okay.
Okay.
That's a different thing. And again, but that's targeting a defenseless. But another thing that you see quite a bit, and I'll mention this too maybe, is the same as snowmobiles where you see the kid between dad and the handlebars. Little kid, that's not really such a great idea. Even though the kid's maybe not operating it, that's where they're sitting. And you know, the idea is that I guess you think you can hold on to them better, but if you hit anything, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I mean, let's be honest. You got to use common sense in a vehicle like that. You're on the water. Yeah, yeah.
If you're a collision and a big guy like me, I wouldn't want to be the little guy sitting in front of me between the handlebars.
No.
That could be nasty.
That's two projectiles meeting together with a little squishy thing in between.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly.
Any final words of wisdom for us, Bradley?
Can't wear inflatables on them.
Oh, there you go. See? That's something I didn't know. So there you go, Brad.
It's a good thing, too, because you have to have an inherently buoyant PFD on.
Perfect. All right, Brett. Thanks so much, buddy. Hopefully, Angela will be back for you next week, and you guys can hash it out and beat each other up as you usually do.
Life is fun.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Okay, see you later.
Bradley Slorp, retired staff sergeant for the Ontario Provincial Police, and I believe we got to take a break. Is that right, Joe? We will be right back, folks.